It's a Cincinnati edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Mark Haney. Coming up later, a new poll shows even though the economy is improving, many Americans are worried about their personal financial situations. First, where you can live can have a real impact on how far your money will go. According to one online cost of living calculator, someone earning an annual salary of $50,000 in Cincinnati would need to make $80,000 to maintain the same standard of living in Boston. Joining us to discuss what factors economists use to determine a city's cost of living and how Greater Cincinnati compares to other cities in affordability are Cincinnati Business Courier editor Rob Dallmeyer and Chris DeSimio, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Cincinnati. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. Email us. talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Chris, we can't have you here without getting a check on the numbers in the day. How are things looking?
Well, things are not so bad right now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, if that's the only number you look at, down about 25 points. However, it's all one stock, believe it or not. There were some questions raised about Apple's earnings stream going forward, that maybe they weren't selling as many iPhones. One analyst, one firm. Apple is down about $3.77. And because of the way the Dow Jones Industrial Average is constructed, that accounts for about 25 points of downward pressure on the Dow. So if you don't own Apple, doesn't make any difference.
All right.
How about that?
There you go.
Could be, you know, who would have thought that on on November 10th here that, you know, the Dow's been around since 1896 as an average, and yet so few people actually understand how it's put together. And so sometimes because there are only 30 companies in it, any one of them having a big move one way or the other can really influence that indicator much more than some other more broadly based indicators.
All right. So we won't worry too much about that one then today.
Be not afraid.
All right. There we go. Well, let's talk about the cost of living. And Rob, maybe you can start out a little bit here. And the story, of course, in your paper, a catalyst for this program today. And tell us what it is and what it's looking at.
So the Cincinnati Business Courier is a part of a chain of papers. There's 40 of us. There's 40 business couriers, or most of them are called business journals, in the cities across the country. And our parent company, American City Business Journals, did a really deep dive into Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers to try to really get a sense as to how far your money will go in living in not just the cities we're in, but in every big city in the country. And when they spit those numbers out, Cincinnati came out very, very, very well as far as how far your money will go. Cincinnati typically ends up in a lot of national polls sort of right in the middle, which is very boring for us news people. So we tend to, okay, whatever. We're 12th out of 30. Let's move on. But in this one, Cincinnati really was an outlier. It was really it's an amazingly affordable place to live. And I think the people who live in Cincinnati, it's very easy to forget that.
Well, what are some of the things that we look at and Chris jump into? Is it strictly housing and food? I mean, what are the factors you look at when you look at affordability?
I was really impressed with the way the Business Courier kind of dug into these numbers, because they started out in the body of the story. This was the October 16th issue. That's
right.
What kind of grabbed my attention. They interviewed someone from my hometown of Los Angeles talking about how, gee, why, you know, you're from L.A., I bet you can't wait to get back. And the answer increasingly is, well, not so fast, because this was someone who was living in a dump, no air conditioning, paying $1,200 a month for an apartment in a not great part of town. For not much more than that, they're getting something in a pretty, you know, hot market in over the Rhine. Who would have thought 15 years ago that we would have said that's a hot market, but it is. With all the amenities for $1,400 a month. And so, and they're not going back. They're not going back the other way. Okay. Our daughters live in New York City, in Brooklyn, and that has come a long way. And it's amazing to see what real estate prices, you know, do. But if the real estate isn't the issue, then there are other parts of the cost of living that the Courier dug into that are really interesting, like the cost of a steak. You know, it's $12.99 here. The cost of craft beer here, about the same. But look at a dog. The cost of a purebred lab, $1,100 purebred here in Cincinnati, double that, almost double that in San Jose. Fascinating stuff. And so there's so many things go into the cost of living besides housing. Housing's a big driver, but it's not everything.
Yeah, there was a there was a, really a giant list that we took a look at, everything from as small as how much a bucket of popcorn costs at the theater. Now, obviously, it's the housing that at the end of the day is the big nut, but it is not the only thing. Everything else adds up. And when you add up if you just think about what you do day-to-day, parking, Uber, you know, Uber rides, you name it, Cincinnati, pretty much across the board, is just a much cheaper place to go. And as Chris said, he's right. It's when people move to Cincinnati, sometimes they have to be, you know, move kicking and screaming, especially if they're coming from the coasts. They end up staying because there's no way they're going to move into a place half as big as what they had here in the old city that they were from, and maybe not have even the same amenities as they have here.
Yeah, and not that far away. I mean, most people in New York and Los Angeles, they are faced with, and Atlanta for that matter, are faced with these horrible commutes. Now, this morning there was something wrong with the bridge, and I don't know if it was traffic lights coming in by the casino, but traffic was a mess here. That's the exception generally and not the rule. Traffic is a monster in L.A., in New York. It's horrible in Atlanta. You know, here it's just not that bad. And it's not just something that's consistent throughout the Midwest. I don't play golf. I mean, the world was made a better place when I gave my clubs away. But here in Cincinnati, the standard rate for one round of golf at a public course, $30. In Columbus, that's what shocked me. In Columbus, Ohio, $90. Yeah. $99.
Yeah, $100. Yeah.
90. Three times as much to play golf.
Yep. Yeah, on average.
And yeah. You would expect that a city like Columbus would be similar, or Cleveland or Pittsburgh or St. Louis. I mean, does Cincinnati still do well against all those cities?
So, Columbus is an interesting city because even though it's just a couple hours away, it's really a newer city, right? It's very similar to Indianapolis, is that 30, 40 years ago, these were not big places. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, St. Louis, Detroit, these were the bigger, Cleveland, these were the bigger cities. So, Columbus and Indianapolis, they grew alongside state government and alongside universities, and they have a different population base than Cincinnati does. We are a much more neighborhood-centric city, and because of that, some of the different ways we live and some of the ways we shop, it's just cheaper to live here. Columbus doesn't have to be as competitive because their economy is different than ours. Ohio State University alone, I don't know, off the top of my head, I can't tell you what their employment is, but just know that it's much bigger than anything Cincinnati has, much bigger than Kroger, much bigger than P&G. Those are good jobs. And so Columbus is just a different city. We're much more similar to a place like Cleveland than we are to Columbus.
I think people would be surprised to think that, because I think Cleveland and Cincinnati, well, there's a bit of a rivalry there, but they're...
A bit.
They're just both
speaking
old.
Speaking as a native Clevelander, but...
Old cities. You know, they're old cities. They face the same troubles, you know. A lot of the urban blight that we're fighting in Cincinnati, and then over the Rhine, we've seen a big change. Cleveland's dealing with the same thing. Columbus, not so much.
And therefore, things are just more expensive?
Sometimes. I mean, it's a broad answer, and I hate to give broad answers. But, yeah, focusing a lot on Columbus is interesting because it's so close to us, but it's really not. And Indianapolis is the exact same way. These are just not cities that used to be anywhere near as big as they are. They've grown they're like Charlotte, North Carolina. They've just sort of grown out of what used to be really small towns. And because of that, there are no old, cheap neighborhoods. You know, there's some, but not nearly as many as we have in Cincinnati.
But does Cincinnati have the cool factor of those new cities then? I mean, how do you compare that?
Didn't used to.
Well, ask some of the 20-somethings who are living at the banks, who are now soon going to be hopping on the streetcar to get from there to over the Rhine to the Gateway District. Just ask them. It's something that we've lived here 30 years, and it's something I'm glad it's happening, but I didn't think it would.
Yeah, I never thought it would happen either, and I think the reason that this is all happening, it's a business story. Procter & Gamble and some other companies decided 12 years ago, that if they were going to be able to attract the best and the brightest to come to Cincinnati, Cincinnati needed to be a cooler place. So they funded 3CDC, which is the nonprofit that has essentially redeveloped over the Rhine. So 3CDC knocked it out of the park. They've made smart decision after smart decision over the last 12 years, and voila. I mean, there's a long way to go, but look at over the Rhine now. So you talk about a cool factor. Cincinnati is a hot city right now nationally because of places like over the Rhine and the banks and all the stuff that's going on the riverfront. And that all really happened because businesses got together and said, we're not cool enough, and it's costing us.
Yeah, and not to be forgotten is the role that the arts and the sciences play, the mm-hmm. STEM, the science, technology, and the University of Cincinnati and Xavier and Mount St. Joe's and the intellectual infrastructure that's here. The architecture here is on the map. It was something that was being talked about at the Harvard Graduate School of Design of Architecture. People from there, when they visited, wanted to see the Vance Center. They wanted to see the DAP building. So things that we never thought of as the city as being cool, but it is. Our son-in-law is an architect. The first thing he wanted to see when he came to visit here was the Contemporary Arts Center by Zaha Hadid. So these are things that have people scratching their heads at first when they see them, but they age well, and they help draw people in from out of town to see them just, for their own merits.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the other factors. We've talked about housing. We've talked about the cool factor. What about things like transportation? A new transportation study out today that didn't rank Cincinnati so well. Is that something that's important to a city in the same sort of way, or does the having transportation affect the cost of living? I mean, if you have to drive your car as opposed to taking a subway?
That depends on who you talk to. That's one of those things that is almost very age-dependent. Not completely, but you get under a certain age. This car companies despise this, by the way, but it's true. You get somebody under a certain age, a car for them isn't a status symbol, right? The idea of a Cadillac, which was for 30, 40 years, for a lot of people, I've arrived.
Part of the American dream.
Yeah. And Cadillac profit margins are insane. I mean, no offense to Cadillac, but they build that in. It's the prestige. They can charge more. Kids, I'm 51, so I guess anybody under 48 is a kid to me. But, the millennials, a car is just a place to, it's just a thing to use to get to where you're going. They don't care what it is. Car companies don't like this because they can't sell as many cars. So they do want mass transit. They do want the streetcar. They want light rail that can shoot them out from downtown to the eastern part of town. But the older generations are fighting that. The governor of Ohio, for instance, could not care less about mass transit and trains, and so there's this real big divide. We'll see how that ends up, but the younger people, they want mass transit. Older people, they like their cars. That's so overgeneralizing, but I think it's also true.
And just as there are in the realms of entertainment and in the realms of technology, transportation there are some disruptors in the field, not just Uber, but if you live in New York, for example, and you parking a car is expensive, insuring it's even worse, well, there's something, there's Zipcar.
Mm-hmm.
There's Zipcar there. So you just, use a car when you need it. The bikes,
the red bikes.
The red bikes here in Cincinnati, the blue bikes in New York, those get used a bunch.
We're talking this afternoon about how Cincinnati's cost of living compares with other parts of the country. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. We'd certainly like to hear from you if you lived in a more expensive city and have moved to Cincinnati or moved out and come back and can tell us a little bit about the cost differential. Give us a call at 513-419-7100. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're discussing what it costs to live in Greater Cincinnati and how our area compares with other regions in the country. Our guests today, Cincinnati Business Courier editor Rob Dahlmeyer and Chris DeSimio, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Cincinnati. We'd like to hear from you if you have some thoughts about all of this. The number to call is 513-419-7100 to join the conversation. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And we're going to go now to Melanie in Loveland. Hi, Melanie. What's your question?
Hi. After living in Atlanta for a number of years and utilizing the mass transit system there, I guess it was kind of hard for me to understand why we didn't have one here. I think it's one of those things that obviously it suits. I mean, all these people that live in the surrounding suburbs, you just hop on a metro and get it into town. And infrastructure and budget and money, but I've never understood why Cincinnati didn't have a light rail system out to the suburbs.
I don't know that we have the answer in the brain trust in the room here, but
they've been, you know, they try. Yeah, we used to way back in the day. We had a really good one, but you know, about 15 years ago, met the Metrobus people. They had a big issue on the ballot, Metro Moves, and they wanted to build light rail, essentially up Montgomery Road, all the way from downtown up into the suburbs, and it failed miserably. The people in the suburbs were opposed to having a train coming through their neighborhood. I hate to keep putting this on generational things because clearly other cities haven't faced this, but I think as Chris mentioned earlier, because until recently it's been pretty easy to get anywhere you wanted in Cincinnati within a half an hour, it's not that way anymore. I actually live in Loveland and drive downtown every day, and it is a nightmare. If I would give anything for some sort of a train. But these are fairly new problems. Traffic, we've had rush hours here, but now the rush hour in Cincinnati on 71 in the afternoon, I think, is about 3 hours long. It used to be maybe 5 to 6. Now it's 3 to 6, something like that. So,
you mean time of day, 3 to 6, not 3 to 6 hours.
Excuse me, not 3 to 6 hours.
Yeah, that doesn't take you that long. It seems like it.
3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Yeah. But so I think we're reaching a pain point that I would hope, I'm being biased here, I would hope would maybe push us towards some mass transit. But that's just Rob Dahlmeier talking. That's not Business Courier editor Rob Dahlmeier. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a lot of this, if you look through the history of it, came from the post-war boom, post-World War II boom, the baby boomers and people moving to the suburbs. But there used to be a pretty vibrant rail system that would start in downtown and move, yeah. and take people along the river and shoot up into O'Brienville and shoot up Delta and take people to what were then the suburbs. It wasn't until everyone had cars and everyone wanted the 3-bedroom, 2-bath, half-acre spot now. That was the game changer. And as you know, a lot of millennials, as Rob has been saying, they don't want to mow lawns. They want to do stuff other than mow lawns. And a lot of retirees don't want to mow lawns either. So I don't know what people are doing.
So maybe no more suburbs after a time, not yet. Melanie, thanks so much for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Jeannie's calling from downtown. Hi, Jeannie. What's your question?
I just want to comment. I've lived downtown for 17 years. In two places. When I first moved down, I moved down to Garfield Apartments, and then I moved over to the Emory Center Apartments on Central Parkway, and I've lived there ever since. And I still have to drive to work. It's only 9 miles. But I love living downtown because of the convenience, and I've always looked at it like I would like to live downtown and work downtown, which I have, and I could just walk, save mileage on my car, maintenance. And, you know, downtown's building up, so that's great. And public transport, I would love, like, light rail. And I know that's a tax issue and who's going to pay for it. And I think younger people want it more than older people. But I think probably, like, within the next 10 years, that all change with, like, the generational change.
Well, Jeannie, thanks so much for your comments.
I love living downtown.
We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment. Frank is calling from Price Hill. Hi, Frank.
Hey, how are you?
Good. So you didn't grow up in Cincinnati? Frank? Have we lost Frank? He was going to talk to us about San Francisco and the Cincinnati parks, but I think we have lost Frank. So we will go to Anna in Evendale. Hi, Anna. What's your question?
Hi, I'd like the panel discuss the implication of Cincinnati losing the hub status and the effect of it on the cost of travel and also maybe the future of our airport and possibilities of bringing other airlines.
Well, here's a way to look at that, too, is the whole idea that, you know, if the cost of living is less here, it's not necessarily cheaper to fly out of Cincinnati.
No less.
That would not be one of the factors.
CVG routinely was the most expensive airport in the nation. It's dropping a little bit now as Delta. It's still officially a hub, by the way. It's the smallest Delta hub. But it's a hub in name only, I would say. You know, we have 5 times fewer flights than we used to because we're not a hub. But because Delta is dropping back and because they're getting rid of some of their gates, it is allowing competitors to come in, and those competitors are cheaper. And so it is cheaper to fly. You just can't get everywhere you want directly, which used to be the case.
Yeah, and some of the people filling in that vacuum, some of the companies were smaller companies, and some of them are larger, pretty good size. I mean, American Airlines is now, I read it in your paper, Rob, having flights now nonstops, three nonstops a day, either now or shortly, to LaGuardia.
That's right.
So it you know, this nature abhors a vacuum. And so does Cincinnati Airport. So does Cincinnati Flyers.
It's tough to build new runways, and we've got runways, and we've got available gates. And every flight I've been on in the last 5 years has been jam packed full. So who knows what's going to happen with air travel? But I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in the future Cincinnati gets more flights again, just because we have the capacity.
Anna, thanks so much for your question. We appreciate it. Marcia's calling from Kenwood. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, how you doing?
Just fine. What's your question or your comment?
My comment is I grew up in New York City, and mass transit is not only a benefit to adults going commuting to work, but it's also a benefit to older children. It creates independence. They're able to get to museums and stores without waiting for their parents to drive them. And another comment is that I heard one of the gentlemen say that millennials favor mass transit and older folks favor their cars. Well, I'm considerably older than a millennial, and I would love public transportation in Cincinnati.
Well, you said
Cincinnati area.
You grew up in New York City. Talk a little bit about the difference in the cost of living. Did you find it less expensive to live here in Cincinnati as opposed to New York?
Well, it is less expensive to live in Cincinnati, but there's definitely trade-offs. New York City has certain advantages that Cincinnati, because of its size and its more provincial background, does not offer. But Cincinnati is a beautiful city and an easy city to raise a family. But there's things about New York, the mass transit is definitely one of them.
One of the things I'd like to bring up, I have a friend who was living in Cincinnati and got a job in New York and moved and had lived there before. And she basically said, you know, the thing that's different is New York is really a cool city, but it's harder to live there. Cincinnati is an easy place to live. Would you guys say that you've gotten that?
Yeah,
and
Marcia,
I think you imply that as well.
I have a lot of friends who journalists who live in New York, and it's just completely different. There's no such thing as journalists in New York don't have yards and lawnmowers, and you know, I have a third of an half an acre, whatever I have in Loveland, giant house, way bigger than I need. Frankly, that's just not the issue there. You don't have much size, but you don't need a car. But I think it is tough to get around. You have kids there. I mean, everything you do in New York, you sort of either have to pay for or plan out. And I think you'd probably just get used to that.
They do. They get used to the subway schedules. They know the routes of the various. They call them trains, just the trains. They know where they're going. It is remarkable to think that the mass transportation is something that there in New York at least is used by people of all ages. You hop on a subway there, and it's amazingly cheap too. You can buy a monthly subway pass in New York for about $25-$30. It's not a lot. It's not a lot. There are a lot of options there. We have though, speaking of New York, people talk about going to New York because of the great restaurants we have, and you mentioned this in your article in the Business Courier, Rob. There are some world-class restaurants and world-class entertainment right here in Cincinnati. You don't have to go to – I mean, it's fun to go to New York for it, but you don't have to.
Yeah, and more so than ever. I mean, there are new restaurants opening all the time. There's a restaurant just a block from the Courier's offices that just opened called Mita's, and I can't get in because you can't get in. but, you know, this is downtown, and there are new restaurants opening every week in downtown and over the Rhine, and this is a city that – we can all agree, if we've been here long enough, 20 years ago, we would not have been saying this.
Thanks, Marcia. We appreciate your call. Dave's calling from Fort Thomas. Hi, Dave.
Hi there.
What's your comment?
I a few years ago moved here from the Boston area. And Cincinnati's an incredible value for things like insurance. What I used to pay to insure one car covered my house contents and four cars here in Cincinnati.
Four cars. Wow.
That was just a year by year comparison. Well, New England's really expensive for car insurance. Don't know why.
Were there other things that were less expensive in Boston than you found here?
I don't know if I would call it less expensive, but a better value. I mean, you could spend equivalent amounts for, say, things like internet connectivity or cellular phone, and you have better service, better speeds, better coverage. So same out of pocket, but a better user experience.
You talk about insurance. What about your housing costs and your food costs? How do they compare?
I'd say food costs on the East Coast is a little higher, but certain things, like there is no comparison between, say, an average grocery store here and an average grocery store there in terms of quality of meat. I'm not sure what's going on, but looks like the...
Which do you like better?
Oh, the scraps get sent to the East Coast. I could not be more amazed by just the difference in meat quality. And I'm doing things here that would be very difficult just because the farmers are so far away, like buying a cow and throwing it in a freezer. It's very difficult to do that, living in the East Coast. Housing's ridiculous. I sold a small townhouse, maybe 2,200 square feet, and tripled the size with a multi-acre lot, that type of thing, for the same amount of money when I moved here.
Wow.
And you have
I've
a large house here.
I've rid of because I'm tired of mowing the yard.
See, we just talked about that, right? Tired of mowing the yard. Well, thank you so much for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Did you do a lot of comparison shopping when you, considering the cost of living when you moved here?
No. I've lived in enough different places. You go where you have to go, and you deal with it when you get there.
All right, Dave, thanks so much for your call. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Robin and Chris, do you have any thoughts in terms of people who are moving into an area, whether it's from Cincinnati to somewhere else or into Cincinnati, what kinds of things they should be looking at to compare cost of living?
Well, I think, we keep going back to housing. And the cool thing about Cincinnati is I think there's different types of housing. There's a massive difference in the kind. You can live in Marymount, which is a very different feel than where I live in Loveland, or Hyde Park, or Clifton, or Wyoming. The whole West Side, which I've only been to a couple times, is a completely different thing. You want to talk about bang for the buck, the West Side of Cincinnati is about as good as it gets for housing. But I think you just have to make sure you try to figure out what you liked where you came from. I'm pretty much sure you can find it here unless you want oceanfront.
Yeah, that'd be hard. What about people that are retiring? What if they live in Cincinnati now and they think of retiring to a warmer climate? What should they look at in terms of their money and how they make that move?
Well, it's interesting because sometimes people will just leave here and then go someplace warm. But more frequently in the investment advising world, we see people who will sell the 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath house. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but they'll have a place here in the Cincinnati area and then they'll have a smaller place someplace warm, and they go back and forth a lot because many times they don't want to leave their kids or the rest of their family.
Do you think they should look for areas that are going to be of similar cost of living since obviously different people can afford different things, but is that something to consider?
It is, and you have to ask yourself, how much are you willing to pay for a couple extra weeks of warm weather? What's it really worth to you? Is it better to buy or to rent? These are questions that from a financial planning standpoint really should be asked, because owning a piece of property somewhere far away is a huge commitment and it's not without risk.
Yeah, I would build off that a little bit in that when people that did just what Chris said, when they kept a place here and also got like a vacation place or somewhere warmer, the options for retirees, let's say, weren't great to get a smaller place. One of the big reasons over the Rhine and downtown is taking off as far as the number of residents goes. A lot of people that are retiring, that little place that used to be a condo up in the burbs, they want to move downtown now. They want to be where the action is. Just because you're retired doesn't mean you want to sit in front of a TV all day. That's why college towns are wonderful places for retirees. Well, downtown, over the Rhine, these more urban areas, they're starting to attract a lot more retirees than used to because we now have the inventory. We just didn't have the housing. So there's a lot better choices now for people who want to have a place down south and stay here.
Thank you both. We're just about out of time. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
A pleasure being here.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Cincinnati Edition. My guests today, Cincinnati Business Courier editor Rob Dallmeyer and Chris DeSimio, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Cincinnati. Listeners are reminded the information provided on today's show is general in nature and may not apply to your personal investment situations. After a short break, we'll hear about a new poll that shows many Americans are anxious about their own economic situations, even though the economy has been improving.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.